The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could be with us on SB Nation AM on a Friday as we roll along heading into a good weekend. Listen, we're done. We don't have football, but we got an American Alliance of American Football. We have the NBA All-Star Game coming up at the Daytona 500. I want to get to more about what Scottie Pippen had said about LeBron James, and just stick up for LeBron James for 1 second here. I grew up in a time, I grew up in the 80s, and I watched Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and Dr. J And I remember, I'll never forget this. I remember being like, I was one of the last Michael Jordan is the best player of all time holdouts, because I remember like Larry Bird to me had that kind of had that. And I was kind of reluctant to give that up. And a lot of it had to do with just clinging on to sort of the good moments I had as a young kid watching the NBA,
so
kind of loving the NBA.
Of you.
I know. True.
I was Magic.
But I was, yeah, like people would, like, and this was early. Don't get me wrong. This was kind of early in Michael's career. I mean, listen, I wasn't doing this in 1998. Okay, yeah. But it was, you know, you'd watch Michael and you'd see this great basketball player, and then, you know, he'd won one or two titles in the early 90s. At that point, I was still holding on to this, Larry Bird. And so I was one of the last holdouts for it. But when I go back to, you know, Michael's got six. Remember when Kobe really, really wanted six? I mean, Kobe knew if he was going to ever have the conversation, if he was going to be in the conversation, he needed six. Even if he had a couple losses, he needed six. I never got that with LeBron. I never got that he was ever concerned about that. I'll tell you what LeBron really wanted, and he finally got, what he really wanted was one, and that was in Cleveland. And I always thought that even in Miami, if he had gone 4-0 down in Miami, and not had lost to Dallas and San Antonio, that even the 4-1 he would have been at the time, because he lost early when he was at the Cavaliers, that he would still be pining for the one that got away, and that was Cleveland. You know, Michael, yeah, get as many rings as you possibly can, right? Kobe wanted the same amount of rings as Michael, but I always thought LeBron was satisfied, and LeBron was very, very complete by getting the one that he always wanted, and finally got that one in Cleveland to give them the title they had long wanted and long were pining for. And for that reason, I like him.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I can't believe I'm doing this, Ron Culver. Week 2 in the AAF. Salt Lake at Birmingham and Arizona at Memphis. Those games on Saturday.
Orlando hype.
Orlando at San Antonio and Atlanta at San Diego. Those games are on Sunday. I love this. I love the AAF now. I am jumping all in.
Do we, I mean, maybe it's too soon to do this just yet, but are we going to do, I guess, what, our top two, bottom two?
That's right. That's right. That's funny. Like, you can, they've got stats up now. I kind of criticize them for not updating their website, but they've updated their website now.
Well, they heard us and they transferred everything from the beta side to the live side.
That's right. That's right. They got a, like, if you go to the Atlanta Legends, you can find out that Matt Sims had 126 passing yards last week.
Johnny over there just forgot to hit, you know, go live
on the website. Right. So exactly. Now
they're all good now.
They're good. Last hour, we were talking about Tim Tebow, and he turned down an opportunity to play for Spurrier and the Orlando Apollos. And I think he knows something about his career with the Mets that I think would make him want to stay in baseball. Because if you think about it, minor league baseball is a tough, tough grind. I mean, it really is. It's playing baseball. It's playing a sport for a living. But guys, they don't pay very well. It doesn't pay good. You're not making a lot of money. You're on buses for a long time. Listen, I've rode a Greyhound bus one time. I was fine with it. I was young, but I don't think I could have a steady diet of bus riding. I think that would drive me nuts. But so that's a hard life. But Tebow is willing to give that to give up football, which he's good at. He's not NFL good, but he's good. Like he could play in this league and be exciting. Okay, he could be exciting. Spurrier would absolutely draw up something that would enhance Tebow's ability. He's willing not to do that, to continue to play baseball in the minor leagues. Now, either two things are going on in his head. One, he's really, really committed to this, and he's really wanting to make sure that all the dots on the I's and the T's are crossed, and did everything he possibly could to try to make it to the majors. Or he was told, hey, man, if you were healthy, you would have been brought up. Keep doing this, you're going to be brought up.
Maybe it's not that, but maybe it's because, I mean, he knows he's close to doing it. And that if he does actually, in fact, make the major league roster, that he can throw it in the faces. I mean, I know it's not his personality. It's not his way of doing it.
But still, yeah.
But, you know, it is that, you know, he's still an athlete. He's still competitive enough to sit there and go, you know, it proves the fact that, yes, he could do it. And we all blasted him like, what are you thinking? Now, if he makes a major league roster, what can we say about it? It's like, you know what? You did it.
Yeah, listen. I think if Tebow plays for the Mets and he has any at bats for the Mets at all, I don't care how it happened. He has the right to stuff it in everybody's face that criticized him. I got to do an interview with him on this network like two years ago, and I told him flat out. I said, man, I'm blown away by what you're doing in baseball. Like it was just the beginning of his career. And I was still like, man, you did it. Like everyone told you couldn't do it and you did it. Like, and it wasn't like because remember, it wasn't just that he went to baseball because somebody said, we'll give you, like, he had to do the whole, like, he got with Tom House. He was training. He was like putting his, you know, like career together, like his resume together, if you will, had that tryout. All the scouts showed up. Some scouts said, oh, don't ever invite me to this again. Like, this is ridiculous. Some were intrigued, but nobody was blown away. And then the Mets kind of said, all right, we'll take a chance. So he got in through like a weird back door into professional baseball, where he was a very, very well-known player that had some athletic ability. He tried to refine it into major league level talent that wasn't there, but got just one person, one team to say, you know what? What the hell? We'll give you a chance. And then he's taken that opportunity, and he's partly, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, you hear stories of like interns who like work at a company for, you know, they start in the mailroom, and then the next thing you know, they become something within the
Roger
company.
Roger Goodell.
Yeah, Roger Goodell. Now, he's obviously not at the major league level yet. Obviously, so the analogy can only go so far. But at the same time, sometimes you get involved in an industry, or you get into an industry, maybe because your father owns the company, but you still turn into something on your own, right? You know, maybe nepotism only goes so far until your real talent for that kicks in. Or maybe you get an internship because your friends of a friend of a friend of a friend got you in the building, but you took advantage of that and turned it into a career. Well, you mean, that's what I feel like he's done here.
A good example of that, I would say, is the Rooneys or the Maras.
Yeah, sure.
Ownership, they pass it down to their kids. I mean, you know, I would, you know, eventually gather or say that, you know, with Jerry Jones, that same thing is going to happen with his kids. Definitely has not happened with the Raiders. But, right. And I only brought that up just so I can bring up the Raiders. But, you know, with the Rooneys, I mean, you know, there's something where, you know, obviously their kids, you know, maybe they started off as interns, but, you know, there's definitely nepotism. We're bringing them on board, you know, in high profile positions, and they're actually doing a good job with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So to me, okay, were the Mets going, wow, he's got some major league talent? Probably not. It was probably more like, you know what? This guy might sell some jerseys. He might put some butts in some seats in some minor league games.
Yeah, put him in a team
in
Florida.
Why not? Let's just, what harm is, and then, you know what? He worked and worked and worked and was impressing people along the way. And you don't hear a lot of people in the minor league levels that he was in saying, this is a joke. This guy can't play. Like, everyone that's ever came across him basically says the same thing we all did, like in Denver when he showed up as a first round draft pick with the Broncos. Like, he's the real deal. This isn't an act. He really is this polite. He works his tail off. He's got a good heart. He's got a good soul. You can just tell by talking to him. And you know what? I wish him the best. And there are people who are coming away from him from the baseball side of things pretty impressed, because he's like, oh, you know what? I can't hit a curveball yet. But you know what? Let me just keep going. Let me just stay in the cage until I figure this out. And I'll keep doing it every day if I have to. And he could easily go, hey, you know what, guys? I did the baseball thing. But I'm not getting any younger. And you know what? I love football. And since I'm not going to be an NFL player, this might be the only chance I get to suit up and play football again. And I ain't going to do it at 40. Steve Spurrier's my guy. Like he loved me when I was, you know, down in Florida playing against his Gamecocks. But you know what? I'm going to stay in baseball. And I got to be honest with you. That's a bold decision. That's got some, you know, because he could, I mean, I'm not kidding with this league. Tebow could go to Orlando and kill it. I mean, Are you kidding me?
He could be the star of the league and, you know, all of a sudden be looked at again by NFL teams.
Oh my God.
I mean, let's face it. Would you rather have Tebow or Peterman?
Yeah. I mean, what if Tebow went to this league and you saw like an aspect of his game? You're like, Tebow, listen, man. You can come play for us. You're not going to be a pocket passer, but we could use you like a Christian McCaffrey kind of thing or whatever it is. And Tebow wakes up and goes, you know what? I'm 31. Yeah, let me do this for 2 or 3 years.
Let's try it.
You know what? I did try the quarterback thing. I gotta read the tea leaves here. I'm never gonna be a pocket passer. I run the ball really well. I'm built like a tight end fullback anyway. Let me just go out there, feel like an H-back, you know, that kind of thing.
I have to think that if he didn't make the All-Star game last year, or if he wasn't, you know, progressing and being as successful as he has been over the last, what, two seasons?
Yeah.
He's been doing this now. I mean, mainly it's just, you know, making the All-Star game last year, that rumor being hinted that, yo, he's going to be called up. He's going to be called up in September before he went down with injury. That, you know, maybe that weighed heavy in his mind coming into this season. You know, had none of that happened, maybe he would have said, you know what, there, you know, baseball just wasn't it. I can go make a name for myself in the AAF.
Yeah, completely.
Maybe he, you know, turns his back to baseball and go, you know, it's fun while it lasted, but you know what, this is a real opportunity.
And the critics wouldn't, I don't think the critics, first of all, I don't think he cares about criticism,
but
I don't think the critics would have lost their mind saying, because you know what?
We had a week of, you know, saying, he couldn't hack it. He's going to the second rate NFL league. And
But the AAF, let me tell you something. You want to get some ratings. Tebow still would draw television viewers. Because listen, I know people in Oregon probably don't care about Tebow, but the Southeast cares about Tebow. They liked watching him play. They may have rooted against him, but there is something about him that was very compelling to a lot of people in the southeastern part of the United States. So yeah, he might not play in Seattle, but hey, you know what? There's a good portion of the country that would still watch him play these nationally televised games for Orlando just because, yeah, they liked what he was playing in Florida. You never, you know, but he's going to go ride buses, eat bad meals, you know, get 15 bucks per diem.
Tebow doesn't eat bad meals. Come on.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
Come on.
And no, because, you know, he does bring a little bit of that, you know, some of that broadcasting money to the table.
True.
You know, now he's going to be a married man. She's going to make sure he eats right. Imagine if she went and whispered in his ear.
She is going to make him eat right.
Yeah, right.
Tebow's going to be like, sweetie, you shouldn't have that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's going to be the flip side. Exactly. She's going to be like, I'd like like pancakes. No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, go crepe.
No, you don't. Go crepe. By the way, I had crepe. I for the first time in my life, I had crepe at the media party at the Super Bowl. I never had them before. I had banana and Nutella.
That sounds dangerous.
Delicious.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely really, delicious. Really dangerous.
With whipped cream. It was fantastic. Oh, I know, because that's how I roll.
That's how you roll.
Pure sugar. All right, 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, or at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
So, Ronnie, you looking forward to any of the events of All-Star Weekend in the NBA? Like three-point shooting contest?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm curious to see what Seth Curry does being limited to being only 18 feet away.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Is he going to be any good from 18 feet away?
Yeah.
We all know what he can do 40 feet away.
But I know, but 18 feet, that could be tough.
That might be a little too close for him.
Might be too close. Make your tax refund go further at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts is exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Yeah, I like the three-point shooting contest. What else? What else do they have? Slam dunk. Oh, do they still do the obstacle course skills thing? I don't think they do that anymore.
If they do, then it's not televised because all we care about as viewers is slam dunk and three pointer.
I think the last time I watched that obstacle course skills thing, like Steve Nash won it, so that goes back a ways.
Yeah. Now you know what Steve Nash is doing now, right?
No. What is Steve Nash
doing?
Steve
Nash is a commentator.
Is he really?
A soccer analyst, if
no
you will,
kidding.
For the UEFA Champions League.
Tell me about his background in soccer, because wasn't he on like the Canadian junior team or something?
I think so, yeah.
Because I know he played at Santa Clara in college, but
which is a good soccer school.
Yeah, he's got a soccer resume from his youth.
Yeah, he's got skill, he's got talent. I mean, he easily could have played for the Canadian national team. Whether or not he was going to be able to play over in Europe, because you know, I don't think when he came around, the MLS wasn't up yet. He definitely would have been able to play in the MLS. And I want to say he attended a few tryouts.
Wow, that's impressive.
But that would have been during the NBA season, so maybe not. Maybe that's all rumors. Maybe after a season.
What's Landon Donovan doing these days?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He signed a short-term contract. I don't know if it got renewed to play down in Mexico.
Right.
So that's what he was doing last year. I don't know if he's trying to make his way back or if he's Brett Favre-ing the situation.
Wow. So.
Now thank you for giving me my 5 good minutes of soccer here.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, before that, everyone changes the dial for, you know, because soccer talk is in your airwaves. The kid that you need to look out for right now is Christian Pulisic, if you know, for America.
Yeah, he's from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he is incredible. He just he's completing a transfer. It won't happen till the end of the season, where he will take his talents to the English Premier League and play for Chelsea.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Big prominent
good
club.
For him. That's pretty awesome. Dabo Sweeney on his on Mike Krzyzewski's radio
show.
That's
it. No more soccer. That's it.
No
for
more soccer.
Okay.
I wanted to get to the Dabo Sweeney
thing. All right.
Dabo Sweeney said he would like to use Zion Williamson in a Wildcat formation. playing for Clemson.
Why not? Dabble.
Chill out for a little bit.
No,
calm down.
No, think about it. He's,
slow down, Dabble.
That's an Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez mentality right there.
Yeah,
just
right?
Throw it up to the big guy. The big guy. We saw what you saw him crush a basketball. Imagine what he could do. He would be brought up on Deflategate so quickly.
Yeah, no kidding, right? He'd be like, whoa! He would be like, you never, like those superheroes that just cry. Like he's, oh my God, Zion Williamson. He's fantastic. Dabo said on Krzyzewski's radio show, I'd put Williamson in at tight end or wide out or defensive end or wherever he wanted to play. We might even put him at quarterback. Oh, okay.
No.
Like, yeah. No, you've got the laboratory beast at quarterback. You don't need Zion Williamson playing that position. You've already got the test tube baby that's playing quarterback now. You don't need Zion Williamson, Dabo. Krzyzewski chuckled saying you'd run the Wildcat. And he said, put in the Wildcat, no doubt. Oh, those two. Oh, the two silliness between these two coaches. Oh, my God, Dabo. Dabo is now a star. He's a star now.
He is.
God.
Oh my God. Will it get to his head? I mean.
Maybe. Maybe.
I want him to stay, the main thorn in the side for Saban. I don't want him to get bigger than Saban as far, you know what I mean? I mean, let Saban just keep being Saban. Dabo, you just keep staying under the radar and just keep winning.
I remember. Listen.
And let us get sick of Clemson.
About 10 years ago, I was doing a little radio in Charleston, South Carolina for a brief period of time. And me and my co-host went to a golf tournament with Dabo. You want to know how big Dabo was then? He couldn't find a place to sit for lunch, and he sat with me and my co-host because we had an open seat at the table. Like, people weren't even clamoring for Dabo to sit with them. This was like a booster media Clemson event. Somehow we got invited, and we were like, yeah, let's go. And so we went. Dabo literally had a plate of food, and he comes up to both me and my co-host and said, can I sit here? And they were like, he's like, we're like,
no,
yeah.
Seat taken.
Yeah. And my co-host was a college player back in the day, you know, he's an older guy, but him and Dabo knew kind of the same people. So, that worked out. I'll never forget. We asked him if he would come on the show, and he did. He came on a couple of days later, and I remember I told him how delicious the cookies were at the luncheon, and I said I would come to more Clemson games if you had those cookies in the press box. And he said, "Well, given how many cookies you ate, I don't think we could fill the box with enough cookies for you."
Burn.
I know, and it was like. That's what he remembered from our time together having lunch at this golf tournament is that I must have had three of these delicious walnut chocolate chip cookies that they had. And he remembered that enough to rib me about it on the radio. And I thought, cool, Dabo Swinney just threw a fat jab at me, which is fine. I'm okay with that. And now he's national championship head coach Dabo Swinney. Back then he was like interim coach until we find a better guy, Dabo Swinney. And, like, you want to talk about a guy, like we were talking about Tebow, who just took an opportunity and ran with it? I'm not kidding. People in Clemson were like, Dabo who? Really? Really? Of all the people out there that's available for this job, we could pluck guys from jobs that would take this job. And you're going to promote the interim coach to the head position? They were ticked. And now he's the hottest thing in college football. He's going to take over for Nick Saban someday. He is the coach.
Do you think he'll go to, when you say take over for Nick Saban, are you hinting that he'll go to Alabama or are you just saying?
He'll go to Alabama.
You think so?
See, I thought so. Maybe I'm going to change this. I would assume so because he went to Alabama.
Yeah,
and Alabama's a big job. But he's turning Clemson into something where you don't want to leave. He may not want to leave that.
Yeah, right now.
Like, there's no reason to, like, there's nothing better at Alabama that he can't get at Clemson.
Yeah,
build new facilities. Clemson's the hottest team in college football right
now. If we had to choose who our Final Four is going to be next season, or for the next two seasons, right? Because I'm given the fact that he has Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback made in a laboratory.
Yeah,
we would put Clemson up there in the top four. Maybe not number one overall, but we'd put him in the top four every single time. I mean, this season
we said this a month ago. Remember when we said Hey, listen, if you're sick of Alabama Clemson, sit, you better chill because you're getting this
for the next couple of
years.
Yeah.
You're getting this for the next couple of years. As long as they have Trevor Lawrence and Alabama stays Alabama with the kind of recruiting classes they bring in, you ain't getting rid of this pairing. Like, you're getting these two for a long time. You know, so sit back and enjoy, because if you hate it today, you're going to hate it next year and the year after, because this is a great football team. This guy has got a great pipeline now. I mean, he's bringing in some talent, and it didn't hurt him one second when his boys were on the stage telling everybody to come to Clemson from at the end of the game, right? When they were basically grabbing the mic from, who was it, Chris Fowler or Reese Davis, whoever had it. And they were grabbing the mic and were like, you want to come to a place and have some fun and play for a coach that will let you be you? Come to Clemson. Oh, my God. He's going to have a pipeline.
By the way.
Yeah. Like, the moment that happened, I thought, it's got to be some violation here, right?
Some violation.
Oh, Dabo, you keep dreaming about having Zion. I'll keep dreaming about eventually figuring out a way that South Carolina beats you with Trevor Lawrence, which is pretty much a dream. I don't think it's ever going to happen. So I'm going to have to learn to get the beat down every November from the Clemson Tigers. SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, good, bad, and the dumb. New segment that we've got on this show where Ron gives us the good, the bad, and the dumb. That's kind of self-explanatory.
I think so. All right, I hope so. Yeah.
All right, Ron, so take it away.
We're going to start off with the good, obviously, for obvious reasons. And I don't know how good this is because I'm talking about taking a class.
Oh, okay.
You know, going back to college and taking class, but I guarantee you, Tony, that if you knew that this guy was going to be your professor, you would take it.
Okay, go ahead.
So Mike Leach.
Oh, yes.
Is going to be teaching a class at Washington State.
Now, what is that going to be?
Now, the title of the class, and this is why this is so good, is the title of the class is Insurgent Warfare and Football.
Okay, so Resurgent Warfare, and he's putting it together with football.
Not necessarily. Maybe. I'm not 100% sure. But there are two essay questions that you have to answer in order to gain acceptance into the class.
What are those?
The essay question. Question number one. Can the British strategy in the Malaya insurgency be used today?
Oh, boy. Mike Leach is teaching this class?
Yes.
This is the best. Why would I sign up for this?
And finally, you know, if that essay question, you know, maybe you don't score as many points with that essay question because you have to do a lot more research on it. I'm talking just to you specifically, Tony. There might be there is someone who knows all about the British strategy and the Malaya insurgency. And,
right,
you know,
completely.
They'd be like, oh, that's a no-brainer. Could it be used today? Yes, no, I don't know. But question number two, and you know, maybe this one should give you some thought and where, you know, this class might be going. Is the wishbone a viable offense for the NFL? Why or why not?
Okay, wait a minute. So you could get a question, like an essay question, like the first one, and then the essay question, like the second one in the same class?
No.
That's a choice.
You have to answer these two questions to gain acceptance into the class.
Oh, I got it. Okay. So I get it. So if you want to take this class, you got to be knowledgeable of football and war tactics.
Yes.
I got it. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Oh, my God, that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, what I want from someone, you know, hopefully, you know, I would be great if we had a listener in Pullman, please get into this class and call daily.
Oh, call daily. Are you kidding?
I guess, I mean, it's they're one-offs. Yeah, it's five classes throughout the semester, one night, each of these, looks like each week, starting March 27th on a Wednesday, every Wednesday night. So there's five classes.
I would take this in a heartbeat. I'd love this. I don't know if I'd be good at it.
No idea either. Class but one would be Introduction to Insurgent Warfare and Air Raid Theory.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Class two is Suppressing Rebellion, Challenges of counterinsurgency and defending the modern spread offense.
Oh, this guy's the best. This guy is the best.
Class 3, profiles of prominent insurgent leaders and foundation in identifying and developing quarterbacks in the air raid offense.
This is so great.
Class 4, intelligence, deception, and info operation in modern warfare and modern football.
Oh, okay. So he'd be like, well, you got spies on the battlefield, and they'll tell you how, you know, your opponent is lining up for the battle. And then you have scouts that will tell you about it for football. Like basically that,
I guess, or maybe somehow you know, involves spying and with Spygate. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what I like about Mike Leach? Cause Mike Leach will teach this class and then he'll go off on like massive tangents, like out of nowhere. Right. He'll be talking about something like in the War of 1812. And before we get to that, you know what? They got a problem with the construction that's going on downtown Portland. And let me tell you what, the problem with that is that you've got construction guys and management that are arguing over which asbestos to use. And some of the asbestos is just terrible. And you're like, where is he going with that? And then he's going to give a speech on that for a while. Then he's going to talk about pirates and he'll get right back to football.
I mean, this is going to be, I really want somebody to
take this class for us. Yeah.
You know, have it televised.
Now, I don't know much about Mike Leach's background in terms of military history. I don't know if he's.
I have no idea.
How is he? Like the football stuff, I get. But if you want to talk about breaking down like a Panzer division or whatever, you know, how qualified is he as an instructor to bring you like General Cornwallis's method of attacking George Washington at the Battle of Yorktown was doomed to fail. Like how does he bring you that knowledge? Or like General Lee was like,
that's why I can't wait till we have more info on this class. You know, March 28th, I'm going to be scouring the internet to see, you know, any leaked photos, any leaked video.
Yeah.
I want to see him teaching a class. Cause I no doubt that he can be an inspirational teacher.
No question.
But I just want to know what the content.
And covering Mike Leach has got to be a joy, like for reporters, because they can get, you never know what he's going to say or what he's going to do. And then you end up with beautiful audio gold whenever he goes off on a rant. Right.
Yep.
That's great.
All right. For the bad today,
the bad.
And you know, this is bad, but it's also kind of good.
Okay.
Cause you know, it will bring a smile to our face. I don't know if you heard about Jacob DeGrom.
I did. I heard
and
about
it's
this.
It's a National League Cy Young Award. This is such a Mets thing.
It's completely. Of all the teams that this could happen to, of course it happened to the Mets.
So if you haven't heard, his Cy Young Award was shipped to him from New York to Florida, and four of the 11 letters in outstanding on the front are chipped, and there is a slight chunk of wood missing to the back.
Oh, God.
I mean, now the Mets are returning it back to the manufacturer and getting it back. But this is a... Listen, you know, the Mets do things that no other team ever thought possible to do.
Well, that's right. And like however this got sent, whatever company used to transport this, like was it the Mets that sent it down, or did they have it mailed?
I have no idea. I mean,
because if it's the Mets, of course, but if it was the company, if it was like a shipping company, they probably went, what's this? I don't know. It's for the Mets. Boom. Throw it in the back.
I'm wanting to think that it got sent to the Mets. And the men said, you know what, we're going to send it down to Florida to Jacob today. Because one thing is happening is Jacob is in a contract dispute or, you know, trying to renegotiate his contract. So maybe they're just getting it to him ahead of time thinking, oh, if we don't get a contract going, you know, we have a disgruntled employee.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Amongst us. And, you know, why would we want to re-sign a Cy Young Award winner?
Oh, God, got to fix the Cy Young Award. Busted Cy Young Award.
I mean,
that
know,
is too bad.
I mean, if this is the way the Mets are starting off their season, we are in for a treat. That's why
I know. No kidding.
I mean, it's bad because it's like, you know what? Yeah, it's just simple bubble wrap. You know, $2 worth of bubble wrap would probably do the trick.
Yeah, pretty much take care of you. You know, pretty much take care of you.
That's it, unless you had Ace Ventura delivering the package. He's just kicking
exactly.
it all over the place. You never know.
Oh, God. This is so. You know what else? You know what is. what I was thinking about this is, like, we were just talking about Tim Tebow. He can't come fast enough for the Mets to just have
He can't.
Like, he cannot come fast enough for the Mets to go, oh, let's be in the news for some positive stuff.
Okay, we joke about this, and I'm going to be real with you for a second. You know, we always say, you know, Tebow has had two miracles under his belt right now. He needs a third one for sainthood. If he was able to bring the Mets into the playoffs.
Oh, my God. Are
would
you kidding
me? That would be a miracle, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to get it out there for St. Timothy.
St. Timothy is right. Yeah, if he can pull this off, that would be amazing.
All right, am I dumb? And I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud, because I'm getting infuriated with people just wanting to sue other people. But fraternities at Yale University, or Yale College, it's Yale University, right?
They go by that?
Well, fraternities are being sued for not admitting women.
Okay, let's cut this out. What are we doing? What are we doing with this?
Three female Yale undergrads are hoping to sue all male fraternities out of existence, accusing their university of violating their rights in multiple areas by continuing to allow discriminatory groups to exist.
I can't deal with this, man. I don't know. Like, there's a part of me that wants to check out. I can't deal with this kind of stuff. You can't join a fraternity.
That's what a sorority is for.
That's what a sorority is for. Don't stop with this. Just
because, believe me, if this goes through, there is going to be a long, long line of guys trying to get into a sorority.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, you don't want
to open this Pandora's box.
You do not want to open that. Is right. Forget it. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you something. I will never forget a girl I went to high school with. She went to an all-girls college that recently admitted men, and there were three guys in the first class. And I said to her, why wasn't there 100? Like, you mean to tell me it's an all-girls college in the middle of nowhere, New England, and there are three men who are at that school?
Whew.
And she's like, yeah. And I went, wow.
I kind of like those odds.
And I kind of wonder if they ever got any sleep at all. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because there's got to be some suppression.
Exactly, right? I'm not trying to hint at it. You're absolutely right. You don't want the flip side of this, man. You don't want the flip side of this.
I'm not trying to
get into sororities. Come on.
I'm not trying to put down the idea that, you know, girls are finally being accepted into Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
I kind of get where that is headed, but I mean, that's what the Girl Scouts were created for, and it's not a discriminatory action. It's just, hey, you know, sometimes boys like to do boys things and girls like to do girls things.
And the argument on that side is legit in a way. If girls want to do the boys stuff and they can't do it in the Girl Scouts, right? Like, if the boys are like learning how to build fires and they don't do that, I don't know anything about the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts. But like, if the boys are like, yeah, we're building fires and we're like learning how to skin animals, and a girl's like, man, I want to do that. Like,
all for it. And, you know,
then
it
that's
be,
okay.
And you
but
should,
what's
you know, boys,
the difference? Like, a fraternity and sorority, don't they kind of do the same
they
exact
do the
thing?
Same thing.
Like, there's no benefit.
The only purpose for both of them is to kind of create leadership skills while partying your ass off.
Yeah,
that's really what it's all about.
That's pretty much it.
And a sorority is a little more strict than a fraternity because, you know, sororities, you don't really have house parties at a sorority.
Yeah.
And they're always nice. They're always much, much cleaner. It's almost like a breath of fresh air when you go into any sorority house, because you're allowed like in the front door. And sometimes you might have me having been in the Greek system. I kind of have an idea of this. You know, when you go to sorority, I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot cleaner. It's a lot more well-kept house. When you come into a fraternity house, the floor is sticky. You know, you really don't know why it's sticky. It could be many, many reasons
many,
why it's
many
sticky.
Reasons. Don't do one of those hazmat tests where you take a sample of it.
Yeah,
and bring it
we
to
had
lab.
A bathroom in our fraternity house that was off limit to the guys. Because we said, no, this is for when we have girls over. We want them to have a safe place to go.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And if
you
were a guy, it was pretty much like, you know what? Hey, it's dark out. See the, you know, go out behind the shed. Do your business behind there.
That's funny. That is funny. So good, bad, and the dumb here on SB Nation AM. That's good stuff with Ron Culver on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, so yesterday was Valentine's Day. I have a really good friend. His name is Chris. And Chris is a very, he's an extremely likable guy almost immediately. When you meet him, he's just a fantastic person. And by the way, this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So yesterday I was talking to Chris about Valentine's Day. And, you know, I've been married over 20 years. So, like, for me, Valentine's Day is, hey, a card and maybe candy. Or I got her some chocolate-covered strawberries yesterday. All right. I feel like I had a solid double into the gap, Ron, right? Like a really nice, you know, stand-up double, no controversy. Pretty good Valentine's Day after 20 yep. years of marriage. I didn't go crazy. I didn't lose my mind. I didn't break the bank. But, you know, I also didn't come up empty. I didn't strike out looking.
Same thing. Flower cards and some candy.
Exactly. So I was talking to my friend Chris. And I said, oh, yeah, what about you? What did you get your wife? He goes, oh, he showed me a picture of the fruit bouquet that he made for his wife.
He made?
He made a fruit bouquet. That's
pretty talented.
If you
ordered it.
I know. I would have ordered it.
Yeah, I would have too.
He made this beautiful. Yes, he took time for his wife on Valentine's Day to make something for. Then he said, oh, he goes, and then she's a big Nashville Predators fan. His wife is a manager at a restaurant. He sent Nash, the Predators mascot, to her place of work with roses. So while she's at the restaurant managing, here comes the Predators mascot, Nash, with roses, dressed up as Cupid for her for Valentine's Day. All of a sudden, Ron, my stand-up double turns out to be like where they give you a double because, like, you know, it's like defensive indifference in a game. Like, just get him on second because we need this next batter to strike out and then we're done. He not only hit a home run, like he hit a home run with like 10 men on base. Forget bases loaded. 10 men on base, if that's possible. Sent Nash to his wife's job. Predators mascot. Yeah, he paid good money for that. I felt, I said, and then stupid me, right? What do? I tell my wife that. She's like, oh really? Huh? Nash? I'm like, nah, never mind. Hey, how do you like the chocolate-covered strawberries? They don't seem to have the... You know, if I dressed up as a mountain lion, would they taste better? Would there some would if I was wearing some sort of hockey jersey, would these somehow be more delicious than they already are?
Just throw on a diaper and go as Cupid yourself.
She'd take the strawberries and throw them at me if I was Cupid. Be like, oh, get away! Yikes! Bring me the mountain lion. He's much better looking. SB Nation Radio.